Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Pei Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as long as Zechon Ishmael Klibik Avriel Bashmol. We start today on Pei Alpha Mid Beis. We're at the end of the seventh parak of Baba Kama, and we are discussing today the takanas that were made by Yehoshua upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael. And then later this morning, we're going to be discussing the takanas that were made by Ezra when he came into Eretz Yisrael. The two times the Jewish people came in mass to Eretz Yisrael. Modern history, there's a third time, but there are twice in Jewish history where we came in mass into Eretz Yisrael, and basic institutions were made. The general theme of Yehoshua's takanas, which we mentioned yesterday, is that we all need to get along. And by all getting along, we have to be mevater. We have to give up a little bit of ours and what is rightfully ours in order for us to get along. So in order to do so, Yehoshua made a number of takanos that will help engender that kind of feeling of let's try to get together and get along together. We'll see. Ezra had a different theme. It's going to be a little bit difficult to wrap our head exactly around what the themes of Ezra's takanos were, but that's later this morning. Right now, let's finish up with Yehoshua's takanos. We are in the middle of Pei Alpha Mid Beis, and we are right a little bit towards the first half of the Amud, starting with the words of Masalkin Lasside Hadrachim. So the first words in the line is Shnia Amirav Papa. And then you move along and then you see the two dots, and that's where we're beginning this morning. Masalkin Lasside Hadrachim Ibnei Yesedos Hadrachim. You move to the side of the road because of the Yesedos, the pillars that are in the middle of the road. As we explained this yesterday, what this means as follows is that during the rainy season, so what ends up happening is that if people were to walk in the middle of the road, so they're going to make depressions in the middle of the road, and that's going to end up hardening, and it's going to create an uneven road, and that's going to be very difficult. So Yehoshua made a takana that what you're allowed to do during the rainy season is you're allowed to walk on the side of the road. Not only are you allowed to walk on the side of the road, you can go even one step further. You can even walk on people's properties in order to avoid the road. So unlike what we saw yesterday you saw that you can walk on people's properties to cut through, but that's only if you don't damage either their field or that which is growing on the field. Here, this takana of Yehoshua is that if your property buttresses a road, people can walk on the edge of your property in order to avoid the road during the rainy season in order to prevent, in order to avoid making uneven road. The Gemara is going to continue with a small anecdote. Shmuel Rav Yehuda Avishak Levaz Ba'orche. So Shmuel together with the student Rav Yehuda were walking on the way. Hava Mistalik Shmuel Letzidei Hadrachim. Now Shmuel made sure to go to the side of the road, which was one of the institutions of Yehoshua. Now I already made this point yesterday, but let's reiterate because it's a good time now to reiterate this point. It's clear from the Gemara that these institutions of Yehoshua are not Israel specific, by virtue of the fact that you have these Amoraim who are living in Bavel, who are employing the rules of Yehoshua. So that means then that generally speaking, these are takanas that are intended to be followed regardless of wherever the Jewish people go. Yashkoch, thank you. Wherever the Jewish people go. So if the Jewish people are going to Bavel, so these takanas are supposed to follow in Bavel as well. So Shmuel and Rav Yehuda are walking down the road, and Shmuel now is following the tekanah of Yehoshua. He's walking on Tfidei Hadrach on the side of the road. So Amalei Rav Yehuda Tanan Shehizna Yehoshua Afilu Babavo. So this is what bothered Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, well, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we're in Bavel. So Amalei Shani Omer Afilu B'Chutz Aretz. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, that's exactly the point. Even though we're in Chutz Aretz, we're still going to employ the rules of Yehoshua. Again, the rules of Yehoshua, the institutions of Yehoshua, were there to create harmony amongst the Jewish people. Who cares where the Jewish people are? We always want harmony, so we got to follow these rules as well. Rabbi Chia Avishak Levaz Be'orche. Gemara tells another story. Rabbi Chia. Now this is taking place in Eretz Yisrael. So they're walking on the way. Yistalku Letzidei Hadrachim. So. And again, they follow the rule in terms of where you should be walking during the rainy season. They walked on the side of the road, not in the middle of the road. Havaka Mafsia Va'aza Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa was Mafsia. Now, Mafsia, Posea, means he was stepping foot. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that he was deliberately walking. Rashi, Miyase Liyased Psios Gasos. He was walking from one peg to another peg with a wide gait. V'lo haya rotze listalek el meitzar sada. So this person who they were observing did not want to walk on people's properties. He didn't want to walk on the side of the road. So what he did is he somehow was able to dance around, so to say, in the middle of the road, going from one peg to another peg. So somehow he was able to walk in the middle of the road without affecting the evenness of the road. So and this guy was doing this in front of Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. So Amale Rebbe, Rebbe Chia, mi hu ze shemar gedula befaneinu. So Rebbe turns to Rebbe Chia and basically says, who's this guy? Like, what's he doing? Meaning, that's not the institution of Yeshua. The institution of Yeshua is that we walk on the side of the road. And yeah, he may be uncomfortable with walking on people's properties, but look, that's what Yeshua instituted. So I don't understand what is going on with this guy. So Amalei Rabbi Chia, Shemar Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa Tamidaihu. So Rabbi Chia says, you know, it might be one of her students. In other words, apparently they were far enough away from him that way they didn't have a good look at him. But Rabbi Chia speculated that might be this Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa is a student of his. Chomasav l'shem shamayim, and everything he does is for the sake of heaven. So in other words, yeah, so he acts a little bit strange, but his strange behavior can all be attributed to the fact that he really loves the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants to follow the Torah as carefully as he can. So now as they got closer to him, they saw, yep, Rabbi Chia was right. It was the student, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa, and Amalei, and he says to him, Yelav Yehuda ben Kenusa at, had you not been Yehuda ben Kenusa, gezartan l'shakech, begizur de parzala, I would have made a gzera on your legs with a gzera of iron. You know, right? Basically, I would have either literally a physical beating, or as Rashi over here explains, cherem. I would have put you in some form of excommunication. Meaning that once Yeshua made a takana, this is how people should behave, and this is how people should walk. So truth be told, is that people should be walking on the side of the road, like we described in the last couple of minutes. The fact that this guy decided that he's going to elect literally a different course for himself and walk in the middle of the road and somehow circumnavigate so that he doesn't affect the evenness of the road. Okay, but that's not what Yeshua instituted. So had they not known that this person was a very special person and a very holy person, so Rebbe says to him, I would have put you in cherem for that kind of behavior. Next, Hatoa ben Akram mafsik v'yard mafsik v'ole. You get lost in a vineyard. So one of the takanos of Yehoshua is that you have every right to basically cut your way out of the vineyard. You're sitting in someone's vineyard. You don't know where you are. You don't know where the exit is. So you can damage his property in order to help yourself, in order to save yourself. And this was an institution. Tana Rabbanan Haroa Chaver Toa ben Akramim. Now let's say you're not the one who's lost, but you see your friend is lost, and so you want to get to him. So again, mafsik v'ole, mafsik v'yare. So you can cut your way through the vineyard in order to get to him. Atshe ma'alehu le'ir o le'derech, until he successfully gets to the city or gets on some sort of road. So not only are we talking about the person himself, we're talking about anyone who encounters a lost person. V'chein, hu shetoa ben ha'kramim mafsik v'ole, mafsik v'yare, atshe le'ir o le'derech. And the same thing would be true for the person who's lost himself. He can also cut his way through the vineyard in order to emerge from the vineyard. Now, my v'chein. So the Gemara's question over here is very simple. If I can cut through somebody's vineyard to save somebody else, so it should go without saying that the person himself who's lost also should be able to cut his way out of the vineyard. What is the Brisa's intent when the Brisa says v'chein? And you know what? Let me tell you even something else. He can cut himself out. That should be obvious. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, maybe when it's not the person himself that's lost, but it's maybe when it's an outsider, so he can cut because you know that he's going to be a little less emotional, a little more methodical, and he'll be successful. So the Gemara says, but if somebody himself is lost, so we'll basically say to him, look, don't cut your way through because you have no idea where you are, and you're basically going to damage the entire property. Maybe what you should do is just simply try to circumnavigate your way around the vineyard until you finally get out. That's the Havamina. So Kamash Malan, so the Gemara says, so that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush of the Brisa is that we could have made an argument why he shouldn't be cutting his way through the vineyard, but argument aside, he should cut his way through the vineyard in order to escape from the vineyard. Now the Gemara says, "Hada raisa who did Tanya hashavas gufa minayin tamalam ravashevos vashevoso." So the Gemara's question here is really simple. I need a takana of Yehoshua ben Nun in order to save somebody who's lost. The Torah says you return lost items. We darshan, even if those lost items include himself. Meaning if a person himself is lost, so you have a mitzvah to return him to himself, to help him find himself. So you see somebody lost, you don't need a takana of Yehoshua in order to save him. You go in and save him, and that's a mitzvah in the Torah. So the Gemara says, so da right, so who the kai be mitzvah? Probably would have guessed this answer. The Gemara says, look, yes, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to save him, but not to destroy people's properties in order to save him. Fine. So along comes the takana of Yehoshua and says, somebody's lost in a vineyard. You have every right now to cut your way through the vineyard in order to save that person who's lost. Next, meis mitzvah kana mekamo. You have a meis mitzvah. Somebody dies in Eretz Yisrael. You don't know. There's no family members. No one's claiming the body. Classic example of a meis mitzvah. So you have now the obligation to bury him. Where do you bury him? So the 10th of the takanas of Yehoshua. Now I'll say parenthetically, the 11th takana, right? We noted that there were 11 that were counted, not 10. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But the last takana, let's say it like that, that's easy. The last takana of Yehoshua was meis kana mekamo, that where if you have a meis mitzvah and you find the body and no one's taking responsibility for it, so you bury him right there and then. So the Gemara says, Reminu, and now the Gemara says to that, we're going to ask the following question. If I find a dead body lying in the Rishus Arabim, the Isratya is a term that the Gemara uses to describe a Rishus Arabim. So you move him either to the right or to the left of the Rishus Arabim. The question should at this point in time be obvious. We have more brisa to go. But the question is that you're picking up the body and you're moving it. This seems to go against the takana of Yehoshua. Takana of Yehoshua is kana mikomo. He acquires a place that he's currently on. That's the problem. We're going to resolve it in just a moment. Stay borvis, stay near. Let's say there's a choice of two fields in which to bury him. One field is a field just made up of pits and holes, and the other one is a plowed field. Mefanela, stay bor. So put him to the field that is going to be less of a imposition, meaning put him in the field that just has holes in it. It's a plowed field, so that field is going to be, they're going to be planted on that field. So move him to the field that it just has holes. Stay near the state zera. Let's say you have a plowed field and yet the other field is actually seeds were already planted in that other field. Mefanela, stay near. So put him into the field that is that's just plowed. That's less of an imposition. How you stay in borosh, stay near, stay zeruos. If everything is equal, mefanela makum shiyirtza. So then dealer's choice. The not the nicest way to say it, but in this context, you have the right to decide where you want to bury him. Amar Abibi. So the Gemara now is going to resolve the stira. The problem is that we just learned together that you take him out of the Rishus Rabbim and move him to the side. Meanwhile, the Takana of Yehoshua is Kana Mekomo. He acquired a spot. So the Gemara's answer, Amar Abibi, Memuta Lametza Mitoch Shinita Lifnoso, Mefanel Chomakum Shiyirtse. If he is standing, not standing, he's dead. If he is lying in the middle of the road, Rashi, al hametzer muta berochav haderech. In other words, he died in a way in which he basically is right in the way. V'ovrin umalin alav osei taharus umetamos. And now the problem becomes is that if you bury him right there and then, anyone who walks on this road is going to encounter the mace and is going to be subject to Tumas mace because you're going to be ma'ahil, you're going to be walking over the mace and you're going to become tummy. So under those circumstances, so now you have the right slash obligation to pick him up and move him to the side and bury him on the side. However, generally speaking, if he is not, if he dies in a place, if you find the body in a place where it's not going to serve as a basic imposition to people walking back and forth, so then you bury him right there. Then. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to turn its attention to some macro issues. Amri Asari Hanei Chad Tzrei Havyan. So, when we first learned the 10 takanas of Yehoshua ben Nun, so we promoted it as being 10 takanas, but then when we actually counted it, there were 11 takanas in total. So the Gemara says, Ma'achim Bishvila Rishus Shlomo Amra. So the Gemara says this idea that you can walk on people's as a path through people's property. So that was not an institution of Yehoshua. That actually is a later institution that was made by Shlomo HaMelech. Ki detayin, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Reisha Kol Perasav Min Asad Ve'Einu Menech Bnei Adam Likanis Besoch Sadehu. So the fruit are finished from the field, and yet the homeowner is preventing people from walking through his property. So maha brios omros alav, what do people say about such an individual? Maha na yesh laponia maha brios mizikos lo, I'm sorry, mizikos lo. So what kind of benefit is he getting from preventing people from walking through his property? He's not standing to lose anything, meaning the season's over. His field is finished in terms of growing its fruit. So what is happening right now? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, somewhat of a fictitious pasuk. I know that sounds strange, but if you have an opportunity to be good, so don't be bad. And now the Gemara immediately points out, Miksiv miyos tov al tikvei ra. Now the Gemara says, now that's not really a pasuk. So the Gemara says, in ksiv ki agavna. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. That's not a pasuk. But the idea, the kernel of the idea in the pasuk actually is a pasuk. The Gemara quotes, al timna tov mi bala biyos la el yadecha la asos. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says that don't prevent yourself from being good when you have the power to do so. Meaning, it never hurts to do something good. Moreover, you could say much stronger, you have opportunities to do good, you should be doing good. People are walking through your property and it doesn't bother you one bit, and it's not going to cause you any kind of financial loss. So of course you should let people walk through your property. By the way, just as a parenthetical note, we may not be talking about, you know, the property that your house is on, that's Hezek Re'iyah. They're going to see into your house. That's another consideration to take. We're talking over here about your fields out in the lands, in the big lands, where there you're just planting on those fields, and once the planting season is over, and so there really is nothing to gain by preventing people from walking on your property. So there the Gemara says, of course you should let people walk through your properties under those circumstances. Okay. So and the Gemara, in terms of the accounting issue, this was a takana that was made by Shlomo HaMelech, which makes sense, by the way. We're quoting the pasuk from Mishlei, which is authored by Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, very good. So, and then that brings the numbers back down to 10. So there were, in fact, 10 institutions that were made by Yehoshua ben Nun. Okay, that's one macro issue. The Gemara now deals with another macro issue, which is that we seem to have more takanas that were instituted by Yehoshua ben Nun. V'su leka v'ayika de Rav Yehuda, de Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer, v'shas otzah zvala ma'adam motzei zvala l'rishos harabim, v'tzovro ko shloshim k'desha yehei nishu v'ragle adam. This takes us way back in the Masechta. We did this much earlier on in the Masechta, and Daf Lamed. Okay, so the Gemara tells us that when people take out their compost, so you can take your compost out as well. Now, we discussed earlier in the Masechta that if people slip and fall in the compost that you put out in the Rishus Rabim, so you're going to be financially liable for any of the damage that it does, but you still have permission to bring it out and put it out into the Rishus Rabim. Why would you want to do that? So that people walk on it. It'll help the compost process. Accelerate the whole compost process, so therefore you're allowed to take it out. And this was one of the takanas that were made by Yehoshua ben Nun. So here we have another one, and this was not mentioned as one of the 10 that we went over yesterday. And the Gemara, before answering the question, points out another one. V'ayikid Rav Yishmael ben Osher Rav Yochum ben Broka d'tanya. Rav Yishmael ben Osher Rav Yochum ben Broka omer tanai based in who she'ezeh yore l'soch sadeh chaver v'kotzeh suchel shol chaver l'atzel nechil shalom v'noselon d'mei sochel shol chavero v'tanai based in who she'ezeh. I'm sorry, before I go on to the next one. This one is, let's say you have a beehive, and your bees somehow migrated to your neighbor's branch. So you are totally within your right, this is a takana, to go over to your neighbor, cut off his branch, in order to retrieve all your bees. Now you're going to pay for whatever the value is of that branch or the loss to the tree to your neighbor, but you have every right to take back your bees, even if it means I'm going to cut a little bit into my neighbor's tree in doing so. This was another takana that was made by Yeshua, and we're not done yet. Another institution that was made is, let's say you're walking, you have a jar of honey, your friend is walking, your friend has a jar of wine, a jug of wine, and the assumption the Gemara makes is that honey is more valuable than wine, and what's happening now is that the honey jar breaks, and the honey now is coming out. So the barrel, the owner of the barrel of the wine realizes his wine does not cost as much as the honey. So a strictly financial decision is that he's going to empty out, he's going to throw all the wine on the floor in order to save his friend's honey. Now he can go over to his friend and say, "Look, I did you a fantastic service. I saved all your honey, but it cost me that barrel of wine." So another institution that was made is that the owner of the barrel of the wine can actually charge for that loss of wine, even though the owner of the barrel of the honey didn't ask for that to happen, but that's another institution. Another institution, Utanai, and based in who she is, Mefarkas Eitz of Aton Pishtano Shel Chavero Venotel Demei Eitz Mitoch Pishtano Shel Chavero. So, and basically, it's the same idea. One's walking with flax, another person is walking with wood, and in order to save your friend's flax, you're going to have to drop all your wood on the floor. So you can do that in order to save your friend's flax. The flax is going to be more valuable than that of the wood, and you can charge him for the loss of the wood. And to all this, the Gemara wraps it up by saying, "Shalmanaz came." One of the last line of Pe'al Fomid Beis, "Shalmanaz came." Hinchel Yeshua Yisrael Saaretz. So, on account of that, Yeshua bequeathed the land of Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. And so basically, where we're at right now is at somewhat of an impasse, because we learned yesterday that there were a total of 10 takanas that were made by Yehoshua. And meanwhile now, what have we been going over the last 8 lines of Gemara, is that there were a number of other institutions that were made by Yehoshua, and these were not counted. So the Gemara says, very simply, b'chidai lo kamrinan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but these institutions of Yehoshua were given to us by individual Tanayim, meaning that this is not considered a consensus viewpoint in terms of a Takana that was made by Yehoshua and the Brisa that we learned yesterday, giving us the 10 Takanas of Yehoshua. That is a consensus Brisa. And these are just, so to say, fringe opinions amongst the Tanayim. The Gemara says we're on the very top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. V'ha kiyas Rabbi Avinam Rav Yochanan Echad Ilan Notel Soch Sada Chavero. So the Gemara says this is a brisa. And this was said over by Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Avin, that if, let's say, your tree encroaches onto your friend's property, okay, it happens all the time, and so now you're going to take the first fruits, bring them to Yerushalayim, and you're going to read the Parsha Bikurim. In other words, you're going to fulfill the mitzvah Bikurim. Now, it's going to be a little bit difficult considering the fact that in the Parsha of Bikurim, you're going to say, Et ha va'al adama shenasata li, the land that you gave to me. So in other words, in order for you to properly read the Parsha Bikurim, you have to be giving fruit that grew on your property. The problem is that your tree reached over into your friend's property and actually grew over his property. So can you read it? So can you bring your Bikurim and read it? And will it not, and wouldn't it smack a little bit of disingenuous when you say that it grew on my property, when meanwhile it grew over somebody else's property? So Rav Yochanan says, this is another institution that was made by Yehoshua ben Nun, that despite the fact that your tree is growing over someone else's property, and he may have a certain right to that, to the growth over his property, you still can cut the fruit, bring it to Yerushalayim, and read it, and read the Parsha, even though it may not be 100% accurate. So the Gemara says, "Echad ilan otel asoch sadeh chaver, v'echad ilan asamach lemeitzer mevi v'kori sha'amnas ken hinchel Yeshua Yisrael etz ha'aretz." So the Gemara says, so why isn't this counted as one of the takanos? Answers the Gemara, "Elaman tana asar tanaim sheisna Yeshua, Rav Yeshua ben Levi hu." So Who was the one who taught us that there were 10 conditions that were made by Yeshua? So that was taught by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So basically the Gemara says that that we're going to basically have a disagreement between Amoraim. Meaning Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi maintains that there were 10. Rabbi Yochanan obviously is going to, if he were to make a list, he'd make a longer list. So the Gemara basically comes down to the fact that it's a machlokes Amoraim, exactly how many there were. Finishing up this this little bit of Gemara, so Rav Gavia may beg so masking la behedger of Tanchum Rabbi Bryce Army Mishum Zakan Echen Uman Rav Yeshua ben Levi Asar Tanai Misna Yeshua. And then the Gemara just simply records that we have corroboration that the list of 10 that we mentioned in the beginning of yesterday's daf, this is a list that is attributed to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, meaning the Amora Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, who himself is an Amora, he argues with Rav Yeshua ben Levi, he would write a list that would be longer than 10, at least 11, and then if he wanted to count all the ones that we went over in the bottom of the previous Amud, it came out to a lot more than 11. Okay. All right. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of Takanas Yehoshua. Moving along now, we move ahead in history to Takanas Ezra. Okay, a brief sketch of Jewish history. Yehoshua came and conquered Eretz Yisrael. It took him 14 years to do so. It was 40 years after Mamon Har Sinai, after Matan Torah, after Nesinas HaTorah. I think we all know. The Jews were in the desert for 40 years. 40 years in the desert. So the Torah was given the year 2448 since creation. So 40 years later, they came into Eretz Yisrael and they conquered Eretz Yisrael. It took us a long time to build the first Beis HaMikdash. We had Mishkan Shiloh. We had it for a long time, 369 years. And then we had the first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was built 480 years after from Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? That's the pasuk. So almost five centuries. Again, we're just making a brief sketch, Jewish history sketch. So almost five centuries since Yetzias Mitzrayim, we built the first Beis HaMikdash. First Beis HaMikdash lasted for a total of 400 years. So now we're about nine centuries since the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then we went into a very short exile. The Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. We went in short exile. We hung out in Persia and Iran for about 70 years. And then we came back in Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So, almost a full millennia between Yetzias Mitzrayim and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we are talking about the Takanas of Yehoshua. We're talking about the Takanas of Ezra. So, they were separated by approximately 900 years. Between the two. But even though they were separated by many, many years historically, but the theme, of course, is essentially the same in that the Jewish people are coming en masse into Israel. So it happened in history, I'd say twice. Now I'm going to say a third time because we have the modern state of Israel. But we have historically two times where the Jewish people came en masse into Eretz Yisrael, and in doing so, Takanos, there were institutions that were made. Now, we're going to note that the general theme of Yehoshua and his Takanos, that's very easy to give one simple theme, and that is we all need to get along. In terms of Ezra and his Takanos, so thematically they're going to be difficult to try to wrap our head around. I always proposed a theory, a thesis. It's take it for what it's worth. I'll throw it out there. My thesis, I didn't see it anywhere, but I think there's some truth to it. Again, you take it for what it's worth. I think that Ezra, what his general consideration was, is that we need more Jewish people. He came into Eretz Yisrael with a handful of Jewish people. I think the number is something like 42,000 Jews ended up coming up with Ezra from Bavel, meaning most of the Jewish people stayed in Bavel. They didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So, the Navi describes in Sefer Ezra that the people that came up with him were not the most religious of people. They were not highly observant. A lot of them were intermarried right. It was what it was, and just the numbers were small. So my general thesis is that, and I can't explain all the takanas based on this the thesis of mine, but my general thesis is that he wanted just to promote more Jewish people, more. He wanted a population increase. So that could be one of the common themes of these takanos, but again, that doesn't explain all of them. With that stated, let's go. We're in Pei Beis Amud Aleph. We are to Dashi Korim B'Mincha. Sorry, I skipped. Asara Takanas. Here we go. We're towards the top of the Amud. First one in the line is Yoshua. Asara Takanas Tikin Ezra Shikorin. There are 10 Takanas that were made by Ezra when he goes into Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Shikorin B'Mincha B'Shabbos. So we should be reading the Torah on Shabbos afternoon, meaning Shabbos morning. Gemara kind of assumes that was already a given. So now we come back to Shul on Shabbos afternoon. We're going to read the Torah again, and this goes back to the Gemara traces is back to Ezra. Two, Korin B'Shein V'Chamishi. We read the Torah on Monday and on Thursday. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. That the Gemara right now is saying is the Takan of Ezra. Three, Danin B'Shein V'Chamishi. We judge cases on Monday and on Thursday. So in other words, court should be open on Monday and on Thursday. We discuss this idea extensively in the beginning of Masechta Ksuvos. Remember the beginning of Masechta Ksuvos? So there was a general takana that was made that people should get married on Wednesday. If there is a need to go to Beis Din, so you wake up Thursday morning and you go to Beis Din on Thursday morning. Now the truth of the matter is that people should also be getting married on Sunday, which nowadays people do, but people should be married on Sunday, but the Gemara there says, yeah, but then you're not going to have enough time to prepare for the chasna because Shabbos goes right before Sunday. Anyway, so we already discussed this at length, but the fact that the courts are open on Mondays and Thursdays, that was a takana made by Ezra. Number four, mechabsim biyom, I'm sorry, bechamishi b'shabbos. So you clean your laundry on Thursday, meaning we have to prepare for Shabbos, and there's a lot to do. And so basically the idea is that take care of the laundry on Thursday so that Friday you have time to do other preparations as well. Number five, Ochlin Shum, Erev Shabbos. You should be eating garlic on Erev Shabbos. You'll see why when we get to the Gemara later on, and it'll fit into my little mini thesis over here. Number six, Ushitei Isha Mashkemes V'Ofa. A woman should wake up early and she should bake her bread early on Friday morning. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss this more in detail later on. Number seven, Ushitei Isha Chogeres B'Sinar. A woman should be wearing some sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but basically it's some extra layer of clothing that she should wear. The Gemara is going to discuss it again later as well. Ushitei Isha Chofefes. Chofefes Tovelis. A woman should do a chafifa. Chafifa basically is a cleaning of her body. Literally the word chafifa means combing. It's probably more reflexive on her hair. But basically she needs to clean herself before she goes to the mikvah. Later the Gemara is going to ask the question, that's not a takana derabanan, that's a din d'oraisa, that's a mitzvah min haTorah, that the woman has to clean her body. And for that matter, anyone has to clean their body before going to the mikvah. We're going to discuss this in more detail later on. Number nine, she Rochlin Machzirin Ba'ayaros. That there is permission for spice peddlers, perfume peddlers, to go around and to sell the perfume, and there is no regulation, no restriction in terms of where they can go, when they can go. In other words, it should always be accessible for women to be able to buy perfume. And finally, number 10, V'tikin Tefillah L'Balei Kareim. And if a man is a Balkari, meaning after having relations with his wife, the man now had a seminal discharge. As such, he is Tamei, and he needs to go to the mikvah. Gemara is going to ask later on the obvious question. That's not a takana from Ezra. That's a din in the Torah, that a man has to go to the mikvah after having become a Balkari. So later on, the Gemara is going to ask that question. Okay, these are the 10 takanas of Ezra. Here, it's going to be a little bit easier, unlike in the list of Yoshua, where it was advertised at 10 and really it was 11. Here, it's advertised as 10 and really is 10. Now, with that stated, let's go. We're going to start the Gemara today, going and analyzing all 10 of the takanas that were made by Ezra. Let's go. Number one, Shiukarim b'mincha b'shabbos mishum yoshvei kranos. So the Gemara says, number one, as far as the institution, the first institution of Ezra, that we should be reading the Torah and Mincha afternoon. So the Gemara says that's because of the Yoshei Karnas people sitting in the corner doing nothing idly. Meaning that you take a look at Rashi, Yoshev Kranos. Rashi writes, Yoshvei Chanios, Kol Yemos Achol, Oskim B'schor Ve'in Korin B'shin V'chamishi, Tikun B'ginayhu Kriya Yisera. You have people who are working exceedingly hard during the week, and they basically don't have time for shul. So it's not a new phenomenon. and they don't have time for shul. So what Ezra was masaki, what he instituted is, look, they missed an opportunity of hearing the Torah during the week. They couldn't even make the shul on Monday and Thursday. So therefore, Ezra instituted that there be an extra reading on Shabbos so that they get more Torah learning on Shabbos. That is number one. Number two. They should be reading the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays. To which the Gemara says, Ezra tikein. What does that mean? Ezra instituted that. That's not true. This is an older institution than Ezra. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. We find in Parshas Bishalach, after having gone through Kriyas Yamsuf, we walked 3 days and there was no water. And Dorsha Rishumas Amru. Now, in terms of how to understand the Pasuk, so those who expound the Torah say that do not take the Torah literally over here. It's not talking about water. Ain mayim ala Torah. When it says water, it means Torah. Shenamar hoy kol tzameluch ulamayim. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Navi, that says that anyone who's thirsty should, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, at the end, towards the end of Yeshayahu, say for Yeshayahu, anyone who's thirsty should go drink water. And over here, thirst and water is not to be taken literally. It means thirst for Torah. Water here means Torah. Same thing in Parshas Bishalach. Water means Torah. So, Kevashach, Shoshishamim, below Torah, Nil'u. So, in other words, they went 3 days without any type of Torah whatsoever. They were withered. Therefore, Amdu Nevim Shebeneim V'tikno Lahem Shiyu Karim B'Shabbos. So therefore, the Nevi'im who lived during those days, now it's funny, the Nevi'im who lived during the days, I mean, we're talking about Moshe. Okay, Aaron also was a Navi, Miriam also was a Navi, a Nevi'ah. But anyway, so Amdu Nevi'im should be a Mayhem. So the Nevi'im who lived during those days, V'tigno Lahem, Shikorim B'Shabbos, U'mafsikin Becha B'Shabbos, V'korim B'Shini, U'mafsikin Shlishi V'Revi'ah, V'korim B'Chamishi, U'mafsikin Erev Shabbos, Kedei Shelo Yilano, Yalinu Gimel Yamin B'lo Torah. So the Gemara says, so therefore there was an institution made. It's so interesting. The Gemara here doesn't use the words Moshe, even though this is describing the generation of Moshe. But the Nevi'im of those days went ahead and instituted that we should be reading the Torah on Shabbos. Then we'll take a day off. Then we'll read the Torah again on Monday. We'll take 2 days off. We'll read the Torah again on Thursday. We'll take a day off. And we'll read the Torah on Shabbos. So therefore, on an institutional basis, we will not go 3 days without Torah. So, with all that stated, so we are in the middle of a question. How can we attribute the reading on Mondays and Thursdays to Ezra when meanwhile it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara's answer is, Mi'ikara tiknu chad gavra talta psuke. So the Gemara says is that the institution that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu was really basic. It was either one ola, one person got an aliyah, and he read 3 psukim, inami talta gavra talta psuke, or it could be that there were 3 aliyahs, but each person read 1 pasuk. So in other words, the original institution, so Torah reading went really quick. a pasuk and ola. Keneged Kohanim Levim v'Yisraelim, and why should it be that there be 3 aliyahs to represent the three classes of the Jewish people? And also, who tikin tlasa gavra v'asar pesukim? Keneged asar batlanim. And with the institution that was made by Ezra, is that you're going to have 3 people, but reading a total of 10 psukim. If you remember the Gemara Megillah, says that it does not average 3 psukim a person. Somebody's going to be reading that 4th pasuk. Who should be reading the 4th pasuk? The Gemara Megillah goes on to say that give it to whichever one you want. Any one of them is fine. The 1st, 2nd, or 3rd Ola reading that 4th pasuk would be just fine. Take a look at the top Tosfos over here. So Tosfos says, okay, so we have a takana that was made by originally Moshe Rabbeinu, and then amended by Ezra almost 1,000 years later, that that we're reading the Torah on Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday, and then back to Shabbos. Why specifically those days? Meaning the whole idea is just simply to go 3 days without Torah is unacceptable. So why specifically in that pattern of Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday? So Tosfos here discusses. Tosfos asks a really simple question. Why Mondays and Thursdays? So Tosfos gives, I'd say it's a famous answer, but I'll try to make it more famous. Tosfos says, V'yesh lamar mishum da'amar b'medrash. So it is based on the following medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu Allah v'shalom, Allah b'chamish l'kaba luchos ha'achronos. When did Moshe go up? Not in terms of a calendaric answer of what date, But what day did he go up in order to accept the Luchos Achronos, the second Luchos? So the so he went up on a Thursday. So in other words, you go, you gotta open up Seder Olam, which, by the way, Tosas ends up quoting. But you gotta open up Seder Olam, and you actually have to make up a calendar of the dates and the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And if you follow carefully, you're gonna see, right, on the 17th of Tammuz, right, this is now going from, this is year one in the desert. On the 17th of Tammuz, on the 6th day of Sivan, I'm just going to back up a little bit. You know, I'm giving a historical view, tour today, so might as well. So on the 6th day of Sivan, we got the, that was Mamet Har Sinai. I'd say we get the Torah, although that in of itself is a discussion, exactly what we got on the 6th day of Sivan. But we know this, it was Mamet Har Sinai. You had divine revelation, you had national revelation on the 6th day of Sivan. Then Moshe went up for 40 days, and he got the Torah, and he came down, and he saw the Avodah Zarah, and he broke the Luchos, and then that took place on the 17th day of Tammuz. Okay, and it's one of the five calamities that took place on the 17th day of Tammuz. And then Moshe davened for the Jewish people for the next 40 days for reconciliation between the Jewish people and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then Moshe went up to get the second Luchos, and then he came down. Now, we all know this, he came down on Yom Kippur. So good, that's the calendaric date. Now we're talking about just simply the calendar, the day of the week that it was. So again, if we were to compose a calendar, we would find that Moshe went up on a Thursday in order to get the Luchos, and second. This is the second. Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem Allah b'chamish l'kabal Luchos Achronos v'yard b'sheni. And he came down on a Monday, v'nisratza lo hamakom. And there was ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was extraordinarily angry with us, but both the Moshe's ascension to get them and Moshe's descent to give them to us were both honored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means then that Monday and Thursday now are going to become historical days in which you have Ratzon Hashem. You have God's extra compassion. Ulefisha haya eis ratzon ba'oso aliyah v'yirida kavu b'shen v'chemishi l'kach na minagu li'isanos bebeis v'hei. So Tosfos goes on to say, since Monday and Thursday now become historically days of eis ratzon, so that's why it was instituted that there will be judgment on Mondays and Thursdays. We're reading the Torahs on Mondays and Thursdays. Some people fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. Tosfos over here is probably describing the Baha'i fasts. Anyway, that is, and go on in Tosfos, and Tosfos quotes Seder Olam and actually composes the calendar. But that is that's Tosfos' explanation of why Monday and Thursday.
It's Kabbalistically also left columns. You have Chesed Gevurah Monday.
Oh, you're so outside of mine.
It's the restriction. So it's Hashem's kindness giving us that.
You are ahead of me in that. It's fine. It's fine. Anyway, the okay, back to the Gemara. Tikkun Ezra Shekor Memecha B'Shav Zekor Mishen Mechamishi V'Dan Mishen Mechamishi. I'm sorry, I lost my spot. Let's go back. Okay, we are in the towards the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. The last word in the line is Vidanin. That's where we're beginning. Vidanin B'Shin V'Chamisha D'Shchichi D'Asol L'Mikra B'Sifra. Now, once we set up Torah reading on Mondays and Thursdays, so now the fact that the Beis Din is going to judge on Mondays and Thursdays, the Gemara says it follows. Since people are coming in order to hear the Torah, so then the courts are going to open up and people are going to have their court cases adjudicated on Mondays and Thursdays. So, excuse me. Vishu mechabzim mechamisha b'shabbos mishum kvod haShabbos. The Gemara gives a very brief and simple explanation. Why is it that there was an institution by Ezra that we should do laundry on Thursday so that people should have clean clothing for Shabbos? In other words, to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah of kavod Shabbos, to honor the Shabbos. Next, shiu ochlin. Shiu ochlin shum be'erev Shabbos. We should be eating garlic on Friday night. Mishum ona. So the Gemara says it promotes intimacy between husband and wife. If you take a look at Rashi, mitzvahs ona b'leila Shabbos k'd Rav Yehuda. So there is a mitzvah for a husband to be with his wife on Friday night. That the Rashi is quoting the Gemara elsewhere. V'ashum marbe esazera. And what garlic does is that it promotes fertility in a man. Dichsiv, the Gemara here. Now we're back to the Gemara. We're quoting a pasuk. Asher piro yitain beito. The Amar of Yehuda, Vitem Rav Nachman, Vitem Rav Kana, Vitem Rav Yochanan, Zemeshan Shmita, Samer Shabbos, Samer Shabbos. So the Gemara here quotes. It's the Gemara Gemara Ksuvos as well, that to have relations with husband and wife should be having relations on Friday night. So the Gemara says that is Be'ito. That's the proper time a husband and wife should be together. And as a result of that, so in order to improve fertility, so therefore it was mandated that garlic be eaten. Obviously, the science of the day during the time of Ezra is that garlic was excellent in terms of fertility enhancement. Tanu Rabbanan Chamisha Dvarim Nemra B'Shum. Five things that were said regarding garlic. Masbia, it satisfies the person. Mashchin, it warms up the body. Matzil panim, it creates a type of gloss on the person. Umarbe hazera, it increases zera. Vahore kinim, and it also kills lice. Shebnei ma'ayim, that are found within the intestines. So it's some form of probiotic. V'yesh omrim machnis ava motzias akina. And some say that it increases love and it also removes jealousy. Okay, so the Gemara here has a lot of wonderful things to say about garlic. Ushitei isha mashkemes va'ofek kedeshei pas mitzui la'aniyim. We're now up to the next Takana of Ezra, that women should be baking bread early on Friday morning. The Gemara says very simply, because if four people are coming to your house on Friday, so what are you going to give them? So nowadays, you know, you give them a check, you give them a couple dollars. But back in the good old days, meaning you gave them something that they actually use, which is food, bread. So if you bake the bread early on Friday morning, so the yoni comes to your house, you are prepared, and you're going to be able to give them bread. Next, shtei isha cholgeres b'sina mishum tzniyusa. So this extra clothing that was worn by the women, it was just to provide an extra level of modesty for the women. Next, shtei isha cholfefes v'tovelas. A woman should literally clean herself, comb herself, and then go to the mikvah. To which the Gemara says, Daraisihi, what are you talking about? That's not a takana made by Ezra, that's a mitzvah Daraisa, Ditanya. V'rachatzis b'sara b'mayim. Shaloye davar chotzis b'im b'sara l'mayim. So we know the basic halacha is that when you tovel the mikvah, in order for the tvila to be effective, so there can be no barrier separating your body and the water. Meaning, your body has to be free and clear from any dirt. So, and the only way that's going to happen is if you clean yourself. And furthermore, es bisaro, es atafala bisaro, my new sayar. And not only can there not be any separation between your body and the water, there can be no separation between your hair and the water. Your hair, learn that from the word es, your hair also has to be free and clear of any dirt. And that means that you have to do a chafifa, which is a full cleansing of your body, and you have to comb your hair in order to get any of the dirt of the hair. So what are you saying that this is a takana of Ezra? This is much more than a takana of Ezra. This is a din daraisa, amri. To which the Gemara gives the following answer. Daraisa li'iyunai, dilma mikter, inami ma'os midi. Mishum chatzitza. So, mina Torah, what do you need to do? So you need to do really an examination. Meaning, you don't need to physically clean your body, and you don't need to physically clean your hair. You have to simply examine to make sure that there's no dirt on your body, and to make sure your hair is not knotted, or there's nothing disgusting in your hair. The asa, now on the top of Pei Beis Amid Beis, va'asa iyu, and along comes Ezra, v'tike chafifa. And he was the one who instituted that, even if everything checks, even if you did a full check and you find that there was no dirt in your hair and your hair's not knotted, even though that's all true, but he came along and he instituted that a woman has to go out of her way to clean herself and to comb her hair. And this is the Takana of Ezra, meaning even post-inspection, if everything checks out, the woman still has to clean and comb. And selling perfume is totally deregulated. There's not going to be any commercial regulation on perfume sellers. They can come into any city, anytime, whenever they want. And the reason is that women should not be discussing to their husbands. Again, this goes back to my idea that a lot of Ezra's takanas were basically to create harmony, unity between husband and wife, and that basically, right, the garlic on Friday night, right, the deregulation of the perfume sellers, also that husbands and wives produce more children. Again, that's my little theory for the day. V'tikin tefillah l'bal kriyim. Okay, we have one more to go, and that is that a bal keri needs to tovel the mikvah, to which the Gemara says, again, what are we talking about? That's a takana d'rabbanan, that's a din daraisa. So the Gemara says that's a din daraisa. The Gemara explains, and we saw this all the way back in Brachos. Daraisa hu l'truma v'kachim asa hu tikein afilu l'divrei Torah. So the Gemara says that min ha-Torah, yes, a Baal Keri needs a tov on the mikvah, but that's only so that a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Meaning if a kohen had relations with his wife, so he's now a Baal Keri, and in order for him to eat truma, so he has to tov on the mikvah. However, when it comes to a non-kohen, and he had relations with his wife, min ha-Torah, he doesn't need to go to the mikvah. And yet, what Ezra was misaking, is that a person, after having relations with his wife, cannot learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah. Now, I'm going to be, for purposes of full disclosure, this really does damage to my whole theory. Because basically, the Gemara over here doesn't say it out. The Gemara in Brachos says it. And the reason why Ezra made such a takana is so that Talmid HaChachamim would not spend so much time with their wives, and they'd be more focused on learning. So, I always get confused at this point in time, because you know the earlier takanas were there to promote more intimacy, more harmony between husband and wife, and that they be together so that they produce children. Over here, the last takana is every time you have relations with your wife, so now you're a Baal Keri, and if you want to wake up in the morning and go learn Torah, you have to now tovel the mikvah. It doesn't do well in terms of my general theory, but okay, that's. I'm not gonna force feed my theory in. If it works, great, and if it doesn't work, it's also fine as well. Okay. Anyway, the Tosfos points out over here, the Gemara in Brachos says that la halacha, we don't follow this last takana of Ezra anymore. Meaning that a man's with his wife, and the next morning he can learn Torah and he doesn't have to go to the mikvah. Yes, it's been the practice the last couple hundred years that the Hasidus, very popular amongst the Hasidic community, that they tovel in the mikvah every morning, that's a Kabbalistic / Hasidic practice. But in terms of just normative practice halacha, the Gemara already records that we don't follow this last takana of Ezra, and we can learn Torah even without toveling in the mikvah. Okay, Adkan, that takes, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we begin a new list, but that ends the Takanas of Ezra. Okay, so today we finished off the 10 Takanas that were made by Yeshua when he came into Eretz Yisrael, and we went over the list of Ezra and his 10 Takanas when he came into Eretz Yisrael as well. Tomorrow we start with Yerushalayim and the 10 things about Yerushalayim.